Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
Growing a successful music teaching business is not about just being a great teacher. Would that it were, right? It's also about setting yourself up for long-term success. Today, I want to share with you a few key things to keep in mind as you're starting your new studio or as you're trying to grow your current studio to be as successful as it can be. Step one is to think about, who are you as a studio? What is your studio identity? Maybe you already have a clear idea of this, or maybe you need to define it a little bit more. Hot tip, you are not for everyone. Everyone is not for you. And if you act like they are, if you're generic, that is not a recipe for having a really successful, thriving studio in the long term. Because if you're just trying to be like everyone else, well, then your students can also go anywhere else. So you're going to end up competing, in many cases, on price. So try to think about this, even if you're just starting out. Is there something that you want to do differently? Maybe to how you've seen it done, or to how you were taught, or to how other people are in this current town or area you live in. Is there something you want to see done differently in the teaching, in the structure, in the actual business practices? Or is there something about your experience or who you are that could make you stand out from other studios? So maybe your particular lesson experience, you've really struggled with performance anxiety and you've come up with great solutions for that and you're really good at working with students through that. Maybe who you are changes what your studio is like. Maybe you're autistic and that changes your perspective on how lessons should be and how you treat your students. Maybe there's some other aspect of you or your personality or your background that makes things unique. Doesn't always have to be something that you feel like taking a stand on, can be that, but it can also just be something baked into who you are and your worldview based on your background. For example, my studio, we stand out in many different ways in our community. One is that we include creativity in our lessons, so improvisation and composing, and also just treating pieces in general more creatively. Another thing is that my own experience with the exam express, as we like to call it, doing exam after exam, year after year, my own studies, I don't think makes for a well-rounded musician or one who loves music in the way that I want my students to. And so that's not how we treat the exams in our studio. So that's just a couple of things for mine, but yours will be different. So really dig deep and think about what's going to be different. What's going to define who your studio is and who you are as a teacher? Number two is to set up professional policies right from the start. And you can see my many rants about this if you like, from talking about not giving out makeup lessons and general policies you should include and getting paid on time and getting paid in the right way, all of this stuff I have fairly strong opinions about. But whether you agree with my opinions or not, set up policies and stick to them. They don't have to be complicated. In my opinion, they shouldn't be more than one page, but you do need to stick to them like a professional would. You wouldn't go to a lawyer's office and expect them to not really follow the terms of how they say they're going to conduct appointments. So don't be that teacher either. Conduct your business like it's a business and follow your policies, whatever you decide they're going to be, as closely as you possibly can. Number three is to set up smooth systems. So we have a whole course on this inside Vibrant Music Teaching. It's something I believe very strongly in. And our course is called Smooth Studio Systems. Predictably enough, love the alliteration. And that will help you set up systems in your studio with like recurring tasks and processes for everything that happens and help you tweak them over time. Our course goes into the details on that, but here I'll just say, basically, it comes down to being proactive, not reactive. Don't just respond to emails as they come up and crises as they happen and plan events when your parents say that they really want to do a concert or whatever the case may be, try to think ahead. And when you don't think ahead and you do find yourself reacting, find a way to plan for it next time so that you don't just react on the fly twice or three times or every time, that you start to develop systems and processes for how your studio is going to run. Number four, set up a simple website and have a good online presence. This doesn't mean you have to have an incredible social media strategy. It definitely, please listen to me, doesn't mean that you need to go spend money on Google Ads or Facebook Ads or whatever other ads you're considering. I'm not saying never do that. I'm saying probably that's not right if you're just starting your studio. What you should do is set up a simple website, and we have a video that can help you with some basic guidelines for that. We also have a course inside Vibrant Music Teaching to help with this too. But set up your simple website, set up your online presence, have the Facebook page or the Instagram or whatever the case may be under your studio name, and post there semi-regularly. I mean, I think once a month is fine if you hardly want to do it at all. If I go on a Facebook page and I see they posted a month ago, I don't think that business is dead. So I think that's the minimum. But remember, just don't spend tons and tons on a website. I've seen so many teachers burn this way, and it won't get you the results that you're dreaming of. Simple is best. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, silly. But just get it up and running so that you have an online presence for your studio. Number five, keep getting better. Invest regular time, not giant bursts one time and then get burned out and then scale it back completely, but try to invest regular time every week into learning. Learning how to be a better teacher, learning about new software that's going to help your business, learning something every week so that you keep getting better and better in a non-manic rushed way, in a steady way that's manageable, that doesn't feel like too much, but that you know deep down that you're improving every day or every week or every month. Number six, this is a really big one, and a lot of early teachers miss this. Even later stage teachers sometimes miss this. It's never too late to learn, right? Number six is to educate parents and keep them in the loop. So part of your job as a teacher is not just to educate students. You have to also spend time educating parents. New parents who join your studio, you need to teach them about what an appropriate instrument is, what practice habits look like, how they're going to help with that. You also need to keep them in the loop, because where a lot of teachers have issues with parents who seem to go off the rails and start helicopter parenting or controlling situations or pushing for certain things or suddenly quitting, a lot of the time, not all the time, sometimes people are just bananas and there's no, you can't find the reason for it. It's something that's completely separate from you. But a lot of the time, it's because they weren't communicated with clearly enough. I'm not pointing fingers, okay? If you have a situation you're thinking about right now and you're like, I told them a million times, that's fine. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, as a general practice, keeping parents in the loop, having something like our progress updates or some other way to keep in touch with parents so that they know that you have a plan, that you're not just aimlessly giving their child random pieces, that you are going somewhere with them, and that you are aware of issues that are coming up. And number seven, lucky number seven, please go easy on yourself. You're wearing so many hats. If you have your own studio and you're teaching your own lessons, you're wearing so many hats, you're doing so many things. Please go easy on yourself. This stuff, building a successful teaching studio, it's measured in months and years, okay? Just like piano studies are. So each individual hour, each individual day is not make or break. You are not failing just because you didn't do that thing you meant to do today, or because that particular marketing tactic you tried didn't work out. You're not. You're not failing if that one particular student quit and it was a surprise to you. It hurts, it sucks, but that doesn't make you a failure. You're only going to fail if you give up. And you're going to give up if you're so hard on yourself. So please, please, go easy on yourself. I already think you're doing amazing. And I know that someday you're going to email me to tell me a wonderful success story about your studio that you never dreamed would come to fruition. A year ago or 2 years ago, as in right now, you couldn't have imagined. You thought you were going to have to give up this whole thing altogether. But you kept with it. You stuck it for the long term. You put these things in place. And now, in 1 year, in 2 years, you get to message me on Instagram or email me and tell me how good you're doing. One of the awesome benefits for Vibrant Music Teaching members is that they get an exclusive member magazine every month. This magazine brings together our blog articles in a way that is digestible and super actionable. If you want to become a member and get the magazine as well as all the other benefits, you can go to vmt.ninja to sign up.